about.
All right, Americans, let's take it from the top.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Okay, everybody, don't forget to call in. I'm Gary Brooks. This is The Score. Let's talk some sports. All sports except for soccer. And don't call me and tell me how great soccer is. You always say things like, oh, come on, it's the most popular sport in the entire world. Who cares? Coldplay is the most popular band in the entire world, but that doesn't mean I don't want to light a Nickelback CD on fire and beat Chris Martin over the head with it.
I went to Vivienne Westwood and sat next to Rihanna and was just like...
Did you hit that?
Oh!
Be the interview killer!
That could have gone one of two ways, but I never expected her to get upset.
And now.
Yes, thank you. Welcome to my personal hell.
Our feature presentation.
What is up, party people? It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday at 1-800-520-1067. That is our toll-free number. As always, this time during the show, you can pick up the phone, give us a call. We put you on the air. You tell us what's up. And we give you a prize. How are my children today? What's going on, you guys?
Your children are fine.
All good.
Yeah.
By the way, we don't have time to get into it now, nor could we discuss it if we wanted to. But I urge you, if you are interested in the odder side of sexuality, that perhaps lovelineshow.com might be a destination for you today. The photo's up now, not the video yet. Right, Michael?
Right. They're still debating on how they should best deliver that video. There's some argument as to if it's... Certain parts of it are appropriate, certain parts aren't. And
well, I can tell you it's not. It's not appropriate at all.
It's not.
Not. As our friend Doto says, it's not.
But like Bean said, I don't care whether you're grossed out or not by stuff like that. The picture of us post success is pretty funny with me in a snorkel and a bikini.
It was raining in the Loveline studios last night. That's all,
yeah,
I can tell you.
Exactly.
And it wasn't what you think. But anyway, that's lovelineshow.com. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Real quick, best story of the last 24 hours. Wow. I love this so much.
Okay.
Sakuma, you got a lot of tattoos, right?
Yeah, I guess.
You got a good relationship with your tattoo artist?
Definitely, yeah.
Would you go to a tattoo artist that perhaps you were having an argument with, a tattoo artist that maybe you weren't on the best of terms with?
One of them I would, because I had a personal relationship with him before he became a tattoo artist. But besides that, you would think twice. I mean, because you know how much... responsibility he or she holds, you know?
Yes, you know who's got the power in that relationship, especially when you're a man in Australia who's getting a tattoo on his back with a guy that he was having a little bit of a tiff with. He had gone in, requested a yin and yang symbol with some dragons. He was getting it on his back, so he's on his stomach. The guy starts to do the tattoo. There are other people in the tattoo shop while the guy is getting the tattoo, commenting that it was coming along and that it was looking good. Tattoo artist finishes and says, go on home, keep it covered up, don't show it to anybody. Well, the guy did show it to somebody, and his roommate said, I don't think that's the tattoo you were planning to get, because instead of the yin and the yang with the dragons, it was a 15-inch penis tattoo.
Oh, my God.
And script underneath with the words, I am gay. Now, that is a tattoo on his back.
That is so great.
Oh, my God.
That's a lawsuit, right?
It certainly is. And it's also an investigation for the police. They got all sorts of charges that they're
But think of the laser he's going to have to
turn it into something. Yeah, you can, gosh, speaking of stuff we can't talk about, but do you remember the tattoo that Knoxville gave Steve-O when he passed out one time that they eventually turned into a man having his way with an ostrich? Having his way with an ostrich, and that was the better option.
Really?
That was what was the cover-up.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Exactly. But that's funny.
That's
bad surprise, though, when you find out that that's what's tattooed on your back, right?
I think two lessons. Don't go to someone that's mad at you, and take a look every once in a while in a mirror if it's in a place you can't see.
Yeah, tattoo parlors like hair salons or a barbershop are covered in mirrors for that reason. Just say, you know what, let's take a little coffee break or something. Let me check this out. Make sure everything's coming along. Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to have video of that guy, of the reveal when he realizes what's going on. A penis and I am gay is what's on the back of his body right now. All right, toll free, 1-800-520-1067. Time to do that thing. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What
nephew.
What do you do, nephew?
Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights is going on right now. It's appropriate time of year, I think, perhaps to have that. You can go to Carl's Jr. and get your coupon for killer deals on select nights to save up to $25. But you get in for free just for being on with us with Kevin Bean's What to Do, Nephew.
Real quick, before we get to the calls, speaking of Universal Studios, Neon Trees and the people at Universal last night, awesome, all around. They were so cool. The crowd was cool. Neon Trees were excellent, as you might expect from hearing their performance. Yeah. So just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, I was thinking about you last night as I realized you weren't at the Lakers game. I was thinking, Psycho Mike's at Universal tonight with doing some work instead of going to the opener, which was bad timing for you.
Yeah, but the only, it made me happy thinking that I wouldn't have even been able to be there to see the awesome ending anyway because I'd have to drive into Love Line.
Might as well start with the Lakers. You hang on, Allison and Evan. We will get to you, but let's get the DeJuan update real quick. DeJuan A. Johnson, Los Angeles, California. Of course, big Lakers fan. Excited about the game last night. Hey, DeJuan, what's going on?
What's up, Kevin Bean? Hi, Lisa.
Hi, DeJuan.
How you been, guys?
Good. What's going on?
Yeah, I watched the Lakers on TNT last night. I thought they was about to lose, but they win anyway.
Was it close, you guys?
Really happy. And I was keep on Twittering on Twitter about those Lakers and put it on my status on Facebook.
How far did they come back from it? What they were behind by how much at the most?
Like about 20 points behind from the Houston Rockets.
Quite a comeback. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't know about your Twitter because your Twitter is private, so I don't follow you.
Yeah. So you can follow me though,
Bean. Well, I can't. I can't.
You've made your Twitter account so that Bean can't follow you, DeJuan, unless you accept
it.
Because this crazy lady is trying to stalk this musician of the band Cardi, so I have to mark my Twitter private and I'll block her.
Okay.
You gotta hate those crazy people that stalk, right?
Yes, I do.
I'm with you there, buddy.
Speaking of crazy people that stalk, DeJuan, have you had any response to your new DJ 90210 training video?
I haven't watched the video yet on KRock.com yet.
Okay. Oh, you got to check it out. Check it out. Let us know what you think, okay?
You guys already posted it on the website?
It's on the website, yes.
KevinandBean.com, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to check it out today.
All right, DeJuan. We got to move on, but thank you. See you later. Allison, line one. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What it do?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So, what it do is getting your eyebrows waxed at a nail salon.
Scandalous.
So, there's a possibility it could go south because you are putting the fate of your eyebrows, you know, in the nail salon lady's hands.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty much what happens. You think it's going to be nice and delicate. She winds up almost ripping my eyelid off, poking me in the eyeball. I cry, and they let me go free of charge.
Oh, but how does it look?
I'm going to work right now, and my eyelids are inflamed. I had to take Benadryl last night.
Oh, man. Are your eyebrows okay?
Yeah, they're okay. They're a little thin, so yeah. You know, I can
pencil
a bit.
Oh, man.
I would imagine that's one of those that you need to look long and hard, because it is such a delicate procedure, to find somebody that really, really is good at it, right? Like, I don't get LASIK done with a guy out of the back of a van. I mean, there are just some standards that you need to look for when you're talking about, you know, important parts of your body.
You know, I used to get the lady parts waxed at a place, and they were so rude all the time that one time when I was getting my nails done, I thought, I'm just going to do it here. They do it here. And they do a fine job, but they don't wear gloves, which is a little weird. I gotta tell you.
It's almost like a date, right?
It is. I thought, you know, if I let my mind wander, this could be a really nice experience.
Right. Allison, good luck with that. Thank you for the call. Let's try Howie, line three. Howie is a tattoo artist, wants to comment on the guy who got the accidental penis on his back. Hi, Howie. Welcome.
Good morning. What'd you do? What'd you do, Kelly?
So, you're a tattoo artist. What do you think about that story we told you?
I think that, I don't know. I have really strong opinions on that because, you know, I'm of the opinion that there's certain people you just don't want to make mad. You don't want to mess with your barber.
Mm-hmm. You're the person cooking your food, and most certainly not the person that's putting art on the body on your body for the rest of your life.
Now, have you ever been tempted, and I'm sure as a tattoo artist you've dealt with some people you haven't liked very much, have you ever been tempted to screw with them by intentionally putting something on their body they don't like?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Okay,
because people come in with such attitudes sometimes. You know, you know, you asked me to do something a certain way. You came to me for my interpretation of what you want, and then, you know, you want to get picky about it halfway through it, you know. And furthermore, I always make sure that they go look at it before we start it, you know, whether mm-hmm. I'm drawing right. it on or whether I put a stencil on their body. I'm making sure that they're into it before we even start, you know. So I don't know. I'm wondering what that person that got that 15-inch penis put on their back did that pissed off that artist
yeah.
so badly.
I also wish there were more details in the story about the nature of the argument and why the guy still went to a tattoo artist that he was feuding with. It
exactly.
just doesn't make any sense.
I mean,
all right.
who would do that to their tattoo artist? I just
exactly.
don't get it.
Good call. Thank you very much for dialing in here. All right, an all-new Kevin and Bean show today.
It breaks my heart.
Well, nothing I can do about that. At this point, we're already involved. Wheelo Bad Animal Voice is coming up in about an hour here on the Kevin and Bean show. Also, our friend Rich Eisen from the NFL Network is going to be on. Very exciting NFL season so far. Mm-hmm. This is that rare week of the year, by the way, that you've got professional baseball, hockey, basketball, football, and soccer all going on at the same time. All five major sports
wow.
happening at the same time. It only happens for about a week a year, and this is it. Who's the worst superhero of all time? A lot of candidates. Ralph and Mike almost came to blows yesterday talking about Aquaman, but there's some that are way worse than Aquaman, so we'll discuss on the way. Omar's got the glee cap about the Rocky Horror episode last night. And what's up with our friend Rob Pattinson? Something to do with his music. Apparently
yeah.
his music is too personal to share with the world.
He's
we'll
deep,
discuss.
Man.
He is deep. And our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ makes a rare Wednesday appearance because he's completely up to date with the crazy meltdown that Charlie Sheen had in New York and has some theories on that, too. So that's all straight ahead. Plus, Ralph's Showbiz Beat next on an all-new Kevin and Bean. Jeez, how about a new album once in a while? Lazy. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 5:51. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us now for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a new day on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get the Showbiz news, I do have some tickets to give away if you're looking forward to, as I am, to Saw 3D, the most frightening Saw yet, because this time Jigsaw comes right out. He goes, "Would you like to play a game?" And he comes out of the screen. It's 3D.
Ah!
These tickets are what they call run of engagement passes, which means you get to see Saw anytime while it's in theaters. You don't have to go any particular date. You can check it out anytime you like. Around Halloween time, what better movie to see than Saw, which opens in theaters everywhere this Friday? If you'd like to get a pair of these passes, the first five callers at 1-800-520-1067 will be the lucky winners. You can take your significant other and go see people have to hack off limbs to escape traps and stuff. No better date movie, really. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? This Charlie Sheen story just keeps getting better and better. You may have heard yesterday that he was rushed to the hospital early yesterday morning when security at the Plaza Hotel in the Big Apple found him drunk, naked, and trashing his hotel suite. Apparently, Charlie had brought an unidentified woman back to his room with him after he'd been out partying, and then noticed his wallet was missing. And when bat-ass crazy on the room, she locked herself in the bathroom, called security. The cops showed up. They gave him a choice. He could go to the hospital or he could go to jail. And Charlie chose the hospital wisely. Now, Charlie claims...
Yes.
He had a bad reaction to medication.
Sure.
It happens to celebrities so much.
I know. You really should go to one of those pharmacies that cross-references your medication
yeah.
to make sure that there's no adverse reactions.
Exactly.
He says he has no plans to make return trip to rehab. The cops, however, claim when they showed up, Charlie said he had snorted cocaine before flipping out. Well, that must be the medication he had the bad reaction to. You know, I've had that same reaction when I've snorted a bunch of blow. It makes me all crazy. Charlie and I must have the same allergy.
DJ Omar Khan.
Now, Star Magazine says it was an escort.
Yeah, big surprise
there.
Who
was with Charlie in the room at the time. And his His meltdown, by the way, on his suite caused an estimated $7,000 worth of damages. Wow. So,
do we think that the hooker stole his wallet? Is that what it looks like here?
Well, that's what he thinks.
Maybe. Who knows? Drunken, coked out Charlie Sheen could have left the wallet at the bar.
Yeah.
I mean,
he
could have fallen out in the cab. It could have fallen out while he was walking. Who knows? But he wasn't in a rational position to think about it. Here's the thing. The hooker was still in the room.
Yeah, hookers and terrified to leave. Yeah.
Hookers who steal wallets usually make a speedy exit after they've got their wallet in your hand. So she probably wouldn't stick around if she had stolen his wallet.
I just don't want to live in a world where you can't trust an escort. That's all I'm saying.
See, what's up with the world today, man? Can you believe that?
Exactly.
Sorry, Bean, but that's all the choices you have, really. You've got to trust your escorts. Justin Bieber says he's thinking about shaving his head.
He should do it.
He wants to. He wants to change his image.
He's so tough.
He wants to show people that he's not just a haircut.
He should do it, then enlist.
The unfortunate news is he is just a haircut. I'm thinking of shaving it off or changing it, but I don't know if now is the right time. Maybe for my next album, he said.
Uh-huh. Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
I hope he ends up like former teen sensation Leif Garrett and loses all of that luster's hair and finds out what it's like to have none.
Oh, it'd be awesome. And also end up holding heroin in a metro station here in Los Angeles and go to jail. I wish that for him as well, too.
And paralyzing his best friend in an auto accident. That's his fault.
I don't wish that.
I didn't see
that
this part.
To the other guy, not Leif, so much.
Right. Yeah. That's what I say. Paralyzing his best friend. Was it Leif driving?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. But you don't wish that on Bieber because I mean, some other poor bastard, some innocent, going to get collateral damage.
That's what
think
he gets
about
from
your curses,
being in the car with Bieber.
You
that's
curse
what I'm
someone,
saying.
Think about it.
I heard that Denzel Washington got up and walked over to Justin Bieber and shook his hand last night at the Lakers game.
That happened. I saw that. That was like in a highlight reel of the game,
dude.
He has daughters,
yeah,
I'm
he's
sure.
He's got kids.
Yeah.
And what kind of seats did Bieber get for the game last night, right?
Well, I mean, they weren't the best seats. Oh, wait, maybe they were. He was wedged between the Laker girls in the front row.
He was sitting on Jack Nicholson's lap.
Probably took a couple of home, too.
Yeah, probably
a couple
did.
Of Laker girls home.
He wouldn't know what to do with them.
And they shaved his head. Good news. We now know what we can get Omar. I would like to ask everyone here on the station to join with me and buy the exact same Christmas gift for Omar.
DJ Omar Khan.
Glee is putting out a Christmas album.
There you go.
Castle Glee is releasing an album of Christmas music called Glee, the Music, the Christmas Album. Wow, that's an original tune. Popular Carols, Holiday Tunes goes on sale November the 16th, which is a few weeks ahead of the Glee episode that will be Christmas themed that will air on December 7th. On Fox. I'm just saying, if we all got him the Glee Christmas album, how phony would that be?
He had like 20 copies of it.
That'd be hilarious.
He'll have his Glee cap later on today. We'll find out how much he hates Glee and Rocky Horror, what it's like for him to watch an episode where they're combined.
It was so good last night.
You guys watched it?
They did a great job with that Rocky Horror music. I'm a big fan of that movie, so I got a kick out of watching them, even to the point where they sort of replicated scenes from the film, even stylistically, what they did with the camera and everything. I enjoyed it enormously.
Now, you enjoyed it. How much is Omar going to hate it?
Oh, so much. Maybe the most ever. This may be his least favorite Glee episode ever, because he doesn't really know anything about Rocky Horror, and he's not going to get that part, and it was very cheesy last night, and it was all over the place, and I think he's going to go off. That's why we get him the Christmas album, and then he learns to appreciate the magic that is Glee.
That'll be the
touch. Sewage company can handle that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor, comedian, legend John Cleese is 71 years old today. He, of course, of Monty Python fame, and what a talent. I got to see his one-man show locally in Los Angeles last
year. Listen, this is divorce tour, alimony tour?
It was the
tour?
Alimony tour, he called it. Yeah, and it was that. 2 hours of some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen. He's really, really brilliant. Ivan Reitman, producer, director, responsible for so many films, not the least of which is Ghostbusters, 64 years old today. Actor, director, Roberto Benigni. I love you all! He's 58 years old today, Oscar winner. Simon Le Bon of Duran Duran.
Oh,
he's 52 years old today. Singer Scott Weiland is 43 years old. And TV personality Kelly Osbourne, friend of the show. She's 26 years old today.
Whoa.
And slender. Very slim.
Yeah.
Very slim these days.
She's lived so much life in 26 years.
She has packed a lot in. And a lot of fudge. You know what I mean? And a lot of pizza.
Yeah.
But she's lost it, so it's okay. I can say that. But she was I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Psycho Mike, I need your help on something. Actually, the listeners need their help on something. You know this campaign, this anti-bullying campaign that's going on right now called It Gets Better, is what it's called. you know, growing up a sexually confused young man, and I'm sure there were lots of times where it was very difficult for you, where you got picked on a lot.
Yes.
Because you're awfully girly. Did it get better? is that advice actually accurate, that it does get better?
It does. I mean, look at me now. Massive radio superstar.
Right. So as a result of the tragic news about several gay kids who have committed suicide over the summer, I mean, it's just it's hard to even put yourself in a mindset of somebody who's, you know, 16, 18, 20 years old who decides to end their life just because, you know, they're getting picked on. But it does happen, and it has really brought it to the forefront of the national discussion. And a bunch of celebrities have teamed up, and regular people too, to tell their stories and give advice and words of encouragement about how, as bad as it seems right now, stick through it, hang in there, it will get better. Here's an example of some of the ones that that have been out recently that you can see on YouTube. Kim Kardashian, for instance, made one.
And I don't let the negative things get to me anymore. And it's been a journey, and it's taken me a long time to figure this out, and it will get better.
Hard to believe Kim Kardashian was ever picked on as hot as she is today, but maybe she was a little bit awkward growing up.
Well, sure, Lisa and I were talking about this off the air, and I would imagine super hot chicks might get bullied as much as the homelier ones because jealousy and stuff.
I would think so, and plus she does have quite the caboose, and
yes,
I don't know,
does.
In high school that might not be as admired as it is now among mature men.
I'm sure there were black men at her high school, Lisa.
President Obama even taped a message from the White House last week with the same message, it gets better.
I was shocked and saddened by the deaths of several young people who were bullied and taunted for being gay and who ultimately took their own lives. And to every young person out there, you need to know that if you're in trouble, there are caring adults who can help.
Now, Perez Hilton, the gossip monger, deserves to be bullied. However,
yes.
He taped a PSA saying you shouldn't be bullied.
Hello, my name is Perez, and this video is directed and made with love for those of you who are gay and having a difficult time being whom you were born. If you're in high school, if you're in middle school, and you're finding it difficult to go to school, to be accepted by your family, I'm here to tell you, it gets better. Not everything gets better. You'll still get pimples like I have on my nose.
Yeah, he's a good-looking man, too.
I don't really want him speaking for for the future, to be honest.
So a lot of other celebrities, I don't want to say have jumped on the bandwagon, I think have generously donated their time to make a commitment to to help this very important campaign that's going on right now. Our friend Eli Manning, for instance, just taped a message from the New York Giants.
Hi, I'm Eli Manning. I'm a quarterback for the Giants. You play football. Listen, if you get picked on, it gets better. Sometimes kids will pick on you because you wear a helmet everywhere. Or you get dropped off at school on a short little yellow bus. Or maybe you always breathe with your mouth open and eat your boogers. But that's okay because it gets better. Then you win the Super Bowl and girls will touch you in your pants.
Oh, did Eli start playing football because he was already wearing the helmet? Is that how it happened?
Maybe.
Seemed like an easy transition. Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne had a tough life growing up in a working class neighborhood in Birmingham, England. Apparently he was also bullied, and now it's his time to say, hey, I survived it. You can too. Listen up.
This is Ozzy Osbourne. And I just want to talk to all the kids out there that are, you know, having problems. I just want to say it gets better. I don't know what gets better. I don't know what it is. But, you know, if it's bad now, then it probably will get better. Or it might get worse. I don't know. But how much worse could it get? All right, it could get a lot worse, but there's an excellent chance if it doesn't get worse, it'll get better. And just don't pick at it and put a Band-Aid on it and a little Neosporin, and it should clear right up. Or put some cocaine on it. That's what I do with my athlete's foot, and it got better! Sharon! Oh, it's all better!
I'm not sure Ozzy understands what he's tried to accomplish here. Neosporin is not the answer for it gets better. And how about one more for right now? A lot of politicians besides the president have been involved in the It Gets Better campaign, too. Governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, spoke out this week.
This is Governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
listen to all you kids out there. It gets better, okay? Maybe you're picked on because you have an incredible, accent, even though you lived in America for like 40 years, but you can't get rid of it. And people pick on you. Don't worry, it gets better. Because what you can do is go to a gym, and you start, pumping iron, and you get pumped, and you lift a lot of weights, and you get huge. And then you go back to find the people who made fun of you, and you crush them. You put their skulls between your thighs, and you crush them, and watch their brains pour out their eyes, and hear the cries of the women lamenting their deaths. So it gets better. It gets better when you wreak revenge on them. Yeah! That's hot!
That is incredibly hot. Thank you, Governor. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. What?
Yay!
Harvey Levin
In
seconds talking about Charlie Sheen, but
Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
A lot of complaints, not enough Halloween spooks.
Ghostly things are gonna happen.
We're crapping on their childhood.
Ooh-ah.
We don't play this every day.
Halloween spooks outside my window. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window frame.
It's not as much fun to play the Halloween spooks for me when Kevin isn't here to poo-poo it.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that's half the enjoyment is knowing how much he hates it. All right, it's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:20. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited to have Harvey Levin on the phone with a rare Wednesday appearance. Harvey, we know you're busy. We know it's Monday usually, but thank you for coming on today because this Charlie Sheen story is just crazy and out of control, right?
It is pretty crazy. I mean, where to start?
Who could have seen this coming, by the way? Charlie Sheen just seems like he licked those demons.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but we talked about this 6 months ago when we were talking about the Aspen case. And we were talking about the fact that the lawyer in that case did not want him to have a long probationary period for exactly this reason, that they thought if Charlie gets probation for a year, how likely is it that he's going to completely stay out of trouble for a year? And if he screwed up, he could go to jail for a full year. So that's why they wanted to make this so that there was a very short probation period. As it turns out, this happened with 8 days to go in his probation.
So they didn't make it short enough.
Yeah, no kidding. But a lawyer definitely knew his client then. But now Charlie wasn't arrested this time, not charged with any kind of a crime. How does that affect the probation even?
Well, we're going to put something up very shortly, but he is not going to have his probation violated.
He's not? Okay.
No,
really?
No. I mean, based on what I know now, and I think I know, unless there's something really big that surfaces, he will not have his probation violated. That said, he's got a problem, and he is back in L.A. He is not going to go to rehab. At least that was his feeling when he went to sleep last night, that he screwed up and he's going to move on. And Charlie is really... Charlie is a functioning substance abuser. I mean, he can go to work and nail his lines, and everybody who works with him says it's unbelievable. So, unlike Lindsay, whose career is derailed, Charlie's career has never been better. And that's a plus and a minus. But right now, there are people who want him to go to rehab in his life, and he doesn't.
And you're absolutely right. Literally, here's a guy who's been in show business, been a star for 25 years or more. His career has never been hotter than it is right now. He's never made more money, had more respect. And by the way, it's to the point where, didn't he on an episode of Two and a Half Men last season, didn't he even mock his own situation by calling himself Teflon on the air?
He did. I mean, and remember, when he walked out of the court, he basically said, my lawyer's a rock star, which was kind of a weird statement to make. But, look, he really was on a binge. And I will say this. I mean, we published a story yesterday that almost immediately after his Aspen case, he started hanging out with some, this is the way some people put it, in his life, some really bad people. And they have been a really bad influence on him. And it's a very it's common knowledge among all the people who deal with him right now, and they are talking about this, and they're trying to break him free of this. But this is not like Charlie on his own necessarily, just boom,
right.
it's not at all.
And you had sources, if I recall, that you referenced in the TMZ.com stories that suggested that this wasn't just one night that got out of control. This was the continuation of a several-day bender that was going on in New York, right?
Well, it's not several days either. I mean, this has been going on for a while. And, you know, it's been going on in L.A. It's, it was going on in New York. And it does kind of go back to, you know, there are a couple of people who got introduced back into his life after Aspen, and a lot of people think it's just no coincidence.
Remember the good old days when you only heard about Charlie Sheen when he got busted with Heidi Fleiss or a hooker or something like that before all of this? Now, here's the other question I have for you, Harvey. Now, again, I'm so grateful you made the time for us today. I'm confused with the layout of this hotel in New York. Wasn't Charlie there, but also his ex-wife Denise Richards was there with their kids and maybe an adjoining room or something?
I'll give you the layout. So what happened was, Denise was going to New York to promote her TV series. She brought the kids. Charlie had the week off for 2.5 men, so he decided he'll go to. They did a lot of family stuff. They went to dinner. They went to see Mary Poppins. So it was all, you know, nice. And they had rooms on the same floor across the hall from each other. And what happened was, on Tuesday night, there was an 8 o'clock dinner reservation. Denise Richards was invited to this dinner. Charlie said, you know, come to this dinner. So she shows up, and this is what we're told. She shows up, and there are 4 guys there and 5 women. And the women are all, you know, it was a little odd. And so Denise Richards shows up. She orders an appetizer. By the time the appetizer comes, she is so uncomfortable, we're told, she leaves. And Charlie's there, and one of them apparently is the one he brought back to the hotel room. So apparently she heard the commotion, and well, not just her, but everybody on that floor heard it, and they started complaining, and that's when security came up, and apparently Denise saw some of this, actually went into the hotel room and then followed him to the hospital.
And this has to be terrifying for a mom. I mean, as much as I dislike Denise Richards, she, by all accounts, is a very involved and driven
mother. She's a
really
good mom. Really good mom.
Yeah, yeah. This has to terrify her to think about the times where Charlie is with the kids, right? I mean, this is, you don't want this guy looking after your kids ever.
Well, it's an issue now. I mean, obviously, this is an issue, and you know, it's a bizarre situation. I mean, Charlie is still married to Brooke Mueller, yet they have already written out all the divorce papers, the property settlement, and signed it. And it's all ready to file with the court, but they haven't done it. I mean, who does that? But they did. And, you know, so he's got a divorce thing ready to pull the trigger on with one wife. He's got another wife where he's trying to, you know, make the peace, and it looks like he's getting along better with her than the current one. And then this happens, and I don't know what Denise is going to do with the kids.
Yeah, what's the part of the story where the escort, and by the way, who blames Denise Richards for not wanting to be at that dinner with her ex-husband and 5 hookers, right?
Yeah, it was bizarre, apparently.
Yeah. What's the part where she's locked in the bathroom and she's afraid to come out, and is Charlie accusing her of stealing his wallet? Is that what happened?
Well, there are reports to that effect, yes. And he was apparently just going ballistic in the room. I mean, we have some pictures up on the site showing the damage in the room. But he apparently, there were primal screams and swearing and calling her a whore. And it was a bad situation.
Has Mel Gibson written in to thank Charlie Sheen yet to TMZ?
Well, no. I mean, Oksana did that for Mel already.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
Right.
All right, last question for you, Harvey. You were very concerned about Lindsay Lohan surviving her drug addictions. Do you have the same kind of fears about Charlie, or is it not that critical for him?
Well, I mean, I don't want to put myself in that role. I mean, I'm just kind of reporting what's going on here. But, you know, what I was saying before was there were people in Lindsay's life who were saying that. There are people in Charlie's life who were saying that they're really concerned for his life. And it's split. I mean, it's really interesting. And there are some people who kind of partied with Charlie, you know, back in the day, who are now taking the other side and saying he's really in a bad situation. So,
yeah,
you know, that's what I was saying. There are minuses to somebody who's functional, because when they're functional, they can just keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and then it can, you know, something really bad can happen.
Yeah.
So there are people who are really worried about him.
Well, you're doing outstanding work being out in front of the story, as you always are. TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ television for updates on Charlie Sheen and everything else going on in the world. Harvey, have a great meeting, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
See you guys.
I suddenly have the urge for Gringo Bandito hot sauce. I don't know what that's all about. It's crazy. It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. What? That's Dexter Holland's hot sauce.
Oh, silly. Yeah, we know. That tie-in. Yeah. Wow.
Oh, makes your foot loose.
It is now. Professional.
6:36. This is the Kevin Abid Show on a Wednesday. Our friend Rich Eisen from the NFL Network is going to be joining us next hour. Does he have the best job in the world, Ralph? Would you love to have that dude's job?
Yes, especially
all
this
football,
time of year.
All the time. Yeah.
Not so much in July. July, they seem like they're treading water a little bit on that network. I mean, I love it. I watch it during the summer.
I know you do. But
it's a lot of, hey, let's take a look at the top 10 plays from last season.
Here's that Pro Bowl from 94 again.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's up with Rob Pattinson from Twilight and his music and a Kevin Abid Scientific Survey all straight ahead here on the Kevin Abid Show? Right now, though, very excited. Ralph, I'm glad you're here because we have a bad animal voice.
No.
This is what's happening.
This is a great story.
No.
You don't know it's a great story, Lisa, because we haven't spun the wheel yet. You don't know what it's going to land on,
that
remember?
That is true. I have no idea what the story is about. God.
It just gets
not
worse.
A clue.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't care.
It's going to be pretty bad. Yes. But Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time
protesting coming from your side of the room, and I think it's because it's too good. That's the problem.
That is the problem.
All of the stories are fascinating.
It's too good.
I can't wait to hear any
good,
of them.
Especially with Lisa's additional help. It is way too good, and I think we should not do it because it's too good.
All right. Well, we have no idea, of course, where it's going to land, although Lisa thinks she does. What's on the wheel today, Psycho Mike?
We have the Japanese attack bear,
ooh,
hurricane chimp, celebrity wedding crashing tiger. Okay. Merlin the iPad dolphin.
Oh, I hope it lands on Merlin.
Drunk Australian parrots.
Uh-huh.
Drunk South African baboon.
Oh, a lot of drunk animals.
Percy the albino squirrel.
Is he drunk?
Where's Percy? Why haven't we talked to Percy yet?
I think Percy's drunk too.
And what defining characteristics does an albino squirrel have been? Female snails with penis heads.
Wait a minute.
These are all good.
Can we edit the wheel ever?
Human.
This
don't
is the
say
one that
human
should not
face
be there.
Sheep in heaven. Don't you say that.
Human face lamb in heaven.
Hit you right in the head.
Renegade kangaroo.
Okay.
And the tweeting Ugandan gorillas.
Okay. Oh, we haven't talked to him yet.
Oh, look at the time.
It's late.
That was a weak spin, by the way.
Too late.
It is celebrity wedding crashing tiger.
No, I
no.
love
it.
What are the chances?
Oh, Ralph, come on. No, this is going to be great. Oh, where are you going? Oh, this is... Katy Perry and Russell Brand, two huge stars, got married over the weekend in India. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how it was decided that they were going to hold their wedding at the Ranthambore National Park.
Hey.
But they got wild animals there, including killer tigers. And apparently one of the tigers there leapt over two walls. It ended up, as the story says, within striking distance, just 15 feet and another wall from being able to get into the wedding reception.
That is so scary.
Can you imagine you're at your wedding and all of a sudden there's a big commotion and there's a tiger about 20 feet away from you that's trying to get into where you are?
Oh, it'd be frightening.
That could ruin a wedding.
Yeah, it really could.
It would be the worst wedding reception ever if a tiger starts going through there and maybe kills the bride. And by the way, I would not stand for that at all. So we asked producer Alex to line up somebody, and I believe we have somebody from the Ranthambore National Park in India on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin Abid Show. Hello there.
Roar!
Yes, who is this, please?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm fine. You are a game warden or an animal handler or what?
No, heavens to Betsy, no. No, I'm a tiger.
Yeah, are you the tiger that almost killed Katy Perry?
I am. I'm Maharaja.
What are the chances?
What are the chances that you not only would answer the phone, but that you would speak English?
Well, you called the payphone right here at the reserve, and I'm the only one who ever picks it up, don't you know?
Now, you have killed before, I understand.
Sure I have, but listen, that's what I do. I'm a tiger.
Yeah.
We have three real reasons to exist. We kill things, then we eat them, and then we poop.
And that's about it. That's your whole day.
Yeah,
huh?
It's hard to blame me for killing something.
Okay, what is it you were trying to do? What was the intention had you gotten inside Katy Perry's wedding reception?
I wanted to go to the party, don't you know? How rude to have a big party right where I live and not invite me.
You're so right.
So I figured it was an oversight, and I figured they must have just, you know, forgot to send me an invitation or something. So I thought I'd just stop by and wish them all the best.
But yeah, Maharaja, you can understand how they might be scared because it says here that you've killed before.
Yeah, but not at a wedding.
Oh, okay.
You just wanted to dance?
They were doing the Macarena. And I heard the music and I said, oh, I got to get me some of that.
Yeah, that
not
does
to mention
hurt when
there was cake.
Well, who doesn't love cake,
oh,
right?
Oh, I love a nice slice of wedding cake.
Yeah.
Sure, of course you do.
I heard it was red velvet.
And the party, you're a very sophisticated tiger.
Well, listen, the lion may be the king of the jungle, but the tiger is absolutely the prince.
You just made that up right now, Maharaja?
Sure did.
Yeah. So the situation was pretty dire, the article says, but security guards were called in, and they beat you down with sticks before they scared you off into the woods.
I know. What's up with that?
That does kind of suck a little bit. You're just being a tiger.
It's my house, too, by the way. Yeah. That's where I live. And they start hitting me with big sticks and then scared me into the forest. And I was like, hey, how about trying the scaring tactic first before the beating starts? I'm reasonable. They could have just asked me to leave.
They could have asked instead of resorting immediately to violence.
Wasn't even last call. Next thing I know, I'm being tossed out by some bouncers.
That has got to stink. Now, you understand that Katy Perry, and even to a lesser extent her husband, Russell Brand, very beloved around the world. People would have been very sad had you hurt either one of them.
I had no intention of killing either of those.
Okay.
But Kanye West looked tasty, I know that.
Oh, was he at the wedding? I didn't know that.
As far as you know, he was.
All right, very good. Thank you. Senator Moran from West Hills, latest winner of the Universal Horror Nights front of line passes from the world famous K-Rock. We've never given these away before. Very, very exciting. The best way to see the Halloween Horror Nights. We got a chance for you to win that coming up here on the Kevin and Bede Show on the world famous K-Rock. It is 6:52. Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on, man?
You know, it's Halloween. I want to invite the folks this weekend. If you got nothing to do on Saturday night, at least for the early part of it, come on down and see me and Kevin Smith do our podcast live at the Smod Castle Theater on Santa Monica Boulevard. You can go to smodcastle.com to buy tickets.
Would rather put a campfire out with my face.
How dare you, sir? Oh. It's going to be a special evening. We're going to be in our Halloween costumes.
What are you going to be, Ralph?
I'm not telling.
Ooh.
Special.
What you should be Kevin be Smith.
It's a special. We're going to be Kevin Smith. That'd be hilarious.
That would be.
I have to get a team of Hollywood makeup experts on the phone as we speak, because now I just have a couple days, but that would be so funny.
Well, you know,
do.
I
that
mean,
would be very
funny. I love you, Kevin Smith, but you're a fat guy shoot.
What? How you know, dare you, sir?
Some padding. Hockey jersey, trench coat.
That's easy.
And beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd
yeah,
be a very good. Believable Kevin Smith.
That's a funny idea. Yeah. Wish I'd thought of that.
No.
Now I got to change my whole costume.
I'm sorry, dude.
No, you ruined it.
Be the situation.
You ruined it for everyone. I was going to be Snooki. I'm looking forward to being Snooki.
Orange tan.
Or maybe I'll go as Willow Smith. Maybe that'll be my costume this year.
You know, if you went as Willow, you'd have to whip your hair back and forth.
Oh, she whips the F out of her hair. I know
sure
that
does.
Much. The only thing worse than giving a 9-year-old a recording contract and letting her release a single about her whipping her hair is interviewing that same said girl.
Yeah.
Wow. People are sitting down with her and interviewing her.
Right. And she's 9.
And she's 9.
Yeah. And not a particularly bright 9-year-old either, by the way.
No. No.
Kind of just typical.
You know, you interviewed Dakota Fanning when she's 9. She sounded like she was 20.
Right. She rocked you on your ears a little bit because you were impressed by her depth and her maturity.
Right. Willow sounds like she's about 6.
Willow Smith says, I wanted to be big and famous like my mommy and daddy and help people when asked about her career.
All right.
I would go on tour with them and watch them, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's what I want to do. Listen, listen. Listen, I wanted to be a fireman when I was 9. Mm-hmm. My parents did not buy me a fire truck and a Dalmatian because they recognized there is an excellent chance that maybe as I grew up, my career decisions would change. She also says her musical influences are Billy Idol and Lady Gaga. Regarding Billy Idol, the interview asked her what she liked about his music. His music is really tight, she said. And regarding Lady Gaga, she's really nice. She's really awesome because she cares about everybody and she writes songs about herself and everybody.
Yeah.
It's like interviewing Doto.
It really is.
Anyway, there's your in-depth interview with Willow Smith.
You
look,
guys...
I got nothing against this little 9-year-old kid. It's not her fault. But who's benefiting here, really?
I don't know.
And you guys thought Whip My Hair was bad. Have you heard her new single?
No.
It's unbelievable.
Let me hear it.
thing. I like that one better than Whip My Hair.
Her voice has sure matured.
It sure has. Sad news for fans everywhere.
Scandalous.
The city has been given the axe by MTV. No longer will we be able to watch Whitney Port making her way through the big city, working with all those people, doing all those things that she does on that show.
Kind of a poor man's hill.
No.
Yeah. She said on her blog, I loved filming the city. It was such an adventure. And I'm so grateful every opportunity it gave me.
No.
So she won't be finding a way through the mean streets of Manhattan.
No.
It's not.
It's all over. I know. I'm sad.
I couldn't remember what it was when you first said it.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's like, what is the city?
I've never seen it.
And that's Lisa.
Yeah, really. Who watches everything?
A walking DVR.
By the way, congratulations, Lisa. Balthazar Getty, it's been announced, is returning to Brothers and Sisters.
You know, they have ordered more episodes. They've got a full season now.
If you were closer, I would just headbutt you right in the bridge of your nose.
It's a good show.
Barf.
No. No. No.
No.
Saying yes?
Yes.
No.
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 Cara DioGuardi has landed on her feet after being booted off American Idol as one of their judges.
No!
Well, it's not really landing on her feet. She's got to land it on her knees. But still, she's got another job. She is going to be a judge on a new reality show called Going Platinum. It's a very fresh concept. 12 musicians will be embarking on a series of songwriting challenges. They'll be writing and performing lyrics from everything from dance tracks to love songs in hope for getting a big recording deal and $100,000 in cash.
I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to it.
Jewel will be the host, and Kara will be one of the judges on Going Platinum next year on the Bravo Cable Network. Please enjoy Going Platinum. That's not going to be good, right?
There's no way.
I can't imagine songwriting is something that just you can do week after week, write a new song every week.
Yeah, you can,
but they're not going to be good.
No,
yeah.
They're not good. Unless you're Taylor Swift, and then you can just write about every guy you ever kissed.
Ever.
She's got to kiss more dudes or she's not going to have a next album.
True.
She has to start dating hard now to prepare for her next album.
Well, apparently she's looking for what rhymes with Gyllenhaal right now.
Oh! Nothing rhymes with Gyllenhaal. That's hard. Yeah. I threw a pill in hall.
No!
I took a pill in hall. No.
No!
You give me a thrill in hall. Cold in here. I caught a chill in hall.
I'm ready and willing, y'all.
Wow.
No.
Maybe we should join that Going Platinum show with our songwriting skills.
Where's Jingles?
Where is Jingles? Goddamn Mark Burnett. Where's Jingles? Jingles, by the way, was the name of our parrot here on the show. He used to tell the weather, remember? Remember Jingles, the weather parrot?
He was replaced by Wolf Nipplechips.
I miss Jingles.
You guys know we're on the air, right?
What? Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor, comedian, legend John Cleese is 71 years old today. He is freshly divorced, but now apparently dating a 30-something girl.
Mm-hmm. Good.
It's good to be John Cleese. Ivan Reitman is 64 years old today. Guitarist K.K. Downing of Judas Priest is 59 years old today. Actor-director Roberto Benigni, Oscar winner for that hilarious film about the Nazi prison camp. That was funny. He's 58 years old. Simon Le Bon of Duran Duran is 52. Scott Weiland celebrates his 43rd birthday today, and Kelly Osbourne celebrates her 26th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I don't want to jinx it, but it looks like the Red Hot Chili Peppers may be stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show next month. Looking forward to that. Got a new authorized biography coming out about him. We will keep you posted on 106.7 KROQ. It is 7:08. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Rich Eisen from the NFL Network coming up in just a few minutes. Plus, we need your help. If you want to pick up the phone and call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. We need your help. It's a Kevin and Bean scientific survey. So we need 5 random people on the phone. We can't tell you ahead of time what the question is going to be because we're trying to make it random. So if you want to call right now and be part of the survey, you'll have to be on hold for just a few minutes, and then we'll talk about that coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Rob Pattinson from Twilight. How are you, man?
Hello.
I'm all right. Good morning.
Rob, you sound a little down today. You okay?
No, I couldn't be more excited about life.
You know, you're really just a couple of weeks away from being back on the white-hot spotlight of the Twilight fans because your new movie's getting ready to come
don't
out
remind
around
me
Thanksgiving
about
weekend.
Don't remind me about that. It's
I thought
such
you enjoy the movies and your fans.
I do. I enjoy my art, but it's such a burden to be so famous.
Right.
And have to deal with so many women.
It does sound like it would be difficult. Could you get a little closer to the microphone, Rob? Would you mind? Could we speak up a little?
Frankly, I have it right in my face. I mean, it's on my lips.
You're just barely, the words are just barely escaping from your mouth.
It's just so hard doing press, doing things like this, getting up in the morning and having to, you know, wade through the waves of cheering women to get even into this studio. And like, I just want my privacy. And that's why I'm staying at the SLS Hotel in room 712.
Okay. Why would you, I don't understand why you give the information out if you don't want people to find
because
you.
Because the last thing I want is for anybody to know where I'm at. I just wish I could go away to my own private island. It's 712.
712.
Lisa's interested.
I just wish I could go to my own private island and just bathe in my own hair.
Well, your hair does look good today, Rob.
Doesn't
I was going to comment
on
that.
It right, does.
Here's why Mr. Pattinson is in the news today, because Twitards know that you, Rob, are also a musician. You've contributed a couple of songs to Twilight soundtrack.
Shh, don't talk about my music like that. It's pretty private. I wouldn't even want it to be exposed to the public if it didn't have to be, but I guess there's clamoring for it.
Right.
Don't even talk about me being a musician, frankly. It's hurtful.
Okay, but I thought you are a musician and it is something you enjoy very much and you're passionate about.
Never really played a note of any other instrument in my life. I mean, I don't know much
about
it.
You're strumming a guitar right now, Rob.
Damn it.
Well, you've been in the news lately because apparently, according to the British tabloid, Simon Cowell wants to sign you to his record label and wants to put a record out with you, knowing that it would be very successful. A lot of people would go out and buy it.
Bleh.
And you're saying you want none of that. You don't want to have anything to do with it.
Meh. That's what I say to Cowell.
Right.
Because my music is for me and my soul. It's not for public consumption. It's not to commercialize. That's ridiculous. It's so private.
It's not really ridiculous. I mean, you do walk around with a guitar all the time and spot an awful lot of bars.
At least I walk around with a guitar because I'm a cowboy. And on a steel horse, I ride.
None of that is true, Rob. Listen to this quote, Lisa.
Okay.
It's my only friend, by the way.
Yeah,
what
else
am I supposed to do? Just keep it in some safe somewhere?
Well,
or an archive?
I don't know, but you can't really deny being a musician if you're going to walk around with a guitar and play it.
And play songs, right, exactly. Lisa's right. Rob, what do you say to that?
Bleh.
I'm more of like a robot in those Transformers movies that is one with his machinery. I'm not a musician. It's the guitar's a part of me.
Okay.
Like my well-coiffed hair or my penis.
Your penis, right. Here's the quote that really, really got me. I'm sure I'll be – this is serious, by the way. I'm not making this up, Lisa.
Okay.
I'm sure I'll be one of those artists that people don't pay any attention to while I'm alive. And when I'm dead, people will go, yeah, man. That was a work of art.
It's true.
Did you really say that?
My
what a tool move
God.
That is, Rob.
Because even though – my songs are incredibly private. You'll never hear one.
Okay.
It's the bottom line. You'll never hear
one.
Well,
then when you die, how will I hear
because
one?
Because I've got...
You're not going to record it.
I've got a collection of reel-to-reels in my house, in my hotel, the SLS Hotel here in Los Angeles, room 712.
712.
And all other places I travel with a bag with a guitar.
And a reel-to-reel.
And a reel-to-reel.
That's right.
The best way to record music.
I have a Sherpa and a pack camel that follow me everywhere. They just carry around this giant recording studio. And I record all these songs. They're not for you. They're not
okay.
For, it's not for you.
That's my point, though, Rob. Is it
it's not
like
for you. It's not for YouTube. It's not for public consumption. It's for me. And when I die, they're going to find it like a time capsule, and they're going to say, this man was the John Lennon of our generation.
Okay, but you think way too much of yourself if you think we can't handle your great music, but that it is phenomenal art that will be treasured for centuries. Come on, Rob.
You want to hear a song?
Yes.
Just a
yes.
Taste.
Yes,
I thought we weren't allowed. I thought we weren't good enough to hear your music.
Just to prove to you that I'm such a genius artist, listen to this song that I worked really hard on, okay?
Great Rob Pattinson.
Got a duckskin dildo.
What?
And it don't get wet.
Okay,
what?
That's not a song.
You know, duckskin repels water.
Right?
Okay.
But
dude, is there
a...
another verse? No. Okay.
Whooping cough has been destructive. Get your children checked out.
That's it?
Yes, good one, right?
All right.
Are
you're
they
right.
All like that?
I can't handle the music. You're right. It's too deep for me. You're
it's
absolutely
dense, right?
All right, one more. Then we got to go, Rob. Are you making this up as you go along?
No,
are there words?
Okay. Lemon parties are my favorite parties. Yeah.
Okay, not a song, Rob.
Not a lot of lemons.
Ooh, another verse.
At a lemon party, just sausage and cream.
Okay. Show yourself out, Rob.
Okay, thank you.
This was a big waste of time. I'm sorry. Right now, before we get to that debate, there's something that we have to settle that has been simmering. Every single Halloween on the Kevin and Bean Show, we get into this fight. And I think once and for all, we need to settle this argument. Who's with me?
Well, it's really not an argument.
Yeah.
It's just you against everyone.
Well, no, I'm with him.
Yeah, but
no, you're not. Because,
I really am.
Because he says this is the best.
Well,
and
I'm
you
not.
You say it's not the
I
best.
I think it's good. I don't think it's the best.
My argument today isn't that candy corn is the best, although I do believe it is the best of all Halloween candies. I'm saying candy corn is awesome, and I am excited by it and look forward to eating it every year. You guys, if I understand correctly, say that it's terrible and nobody should ever eat or enjoy it.
It's crap. It's a traditional thing that we've been saddled with, much like the marshmallow peep. It's just something that comes around every holiday season. It's the only time people eat it because it's the only time it shows up because it's become part of a tradition, but it blows.
I did not know that candy corn really was candy until I was like 16 years old. I thought it was some type of Thanksgiving Halloween decoration. I really thought it was something
really?
You put on
table.
Yes.
Because the colors match.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I tried it and I said, this is absolutely, wait, people eat this?
This is sugar and wax. This is horrible.
It
sucks.
Awesome. But let me ask you this. And this is the same argument I have at Christmas with fruitcake, by the way, which is also a phenomenal, delectable treat. People don't eat it just out of tradition if they don't like it, Ralph. Last year, more than 35 million pounds of candy corn were sold. I mean, people are buying it and eating it because they like it.
They're buying it and giving it away. And then kids are getting it and throwing it out. That is the entire life cycle of candy corn. People go to the store, they purchase it in little bags, they give it to poor little kids when they come to the door, and then those kids throw it at lesser popular kids or throw it out. That's
what
happens to them.
Or people fill up like those cornucopia things, those cornucopia decorations on a table.
Well,
they
don't eat it. And that's just not true.
The only person
in your
corner.
I always ate my candy corn.
Yeah, but you are a sugar fiend.
And I love to like just bite off the little white top first. Like I have a way to eat it like you do. You have a way to eat Oreos.
With a spoon, Lisa.
And I like the texture of it.
While defending candy corn, off the air, Lisa May said, I oftentimes have put tablespoons of sugar in my mouth.
Because Mike was saying, Lisa, it's just sugar. And I'm like, yeah, so I've eaten sugar. I've eaten brown sugar right out of the box.
Yes, No one does that.
Lots of people do that.
It's like asking a hobo if it's all right to eat like a chicken wing out of the dumpster. Of course it is for them, Lisa, because they've dropped so low. They're at the bottom rung of the argument.
Look, candy is sugar.
Right.
That's what it is.
But most candy is made to taste good. It has a flavor. It has its own definable characteristic.
It has a flavor.
Yeah, it's called pure sugar. And I'm saying from the woman who eats pure sugar, you're not necessarily the best.
It doesn't taste like the sugar that I scoop out of the box.
It doesn't taste that good.
No,
you're right.
It tastes just as good, but it's different. And the texture is good.
These are the five worst Halloween candies, according to the Houston Press, okay? These are all things I'd rather eat than candy corn. Spooky nerds. Body parts, zit poppers, box of boogers, and scabaroni.
I've never heard of any of those.
Those are all things I'd rather eat than candy corn.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Scabaroni I would eat first before eat candy corn.
Clearly, we are not going to come to a consensus on this. And by
we
the way,
have.
If Lewis Black were here, he would weigh in.
I like Pixie Sticks. Pixie Sticks rules.
No way. Chunkies are the best.
Candy corn, my friend.
Okay, that's a different clip. Here's Lewis Black and what he had to say about the candy corn.
Candy corn? Blown.
All right.
That's right.
There it is.
We're not going to come to some sort of consensus, but so that we don't have to have this argument every year, let's let the Kevin and Bean listeners decide. We have five random people that were placed on hold before we started the discussion. They didn't even know what the topic was when they called in. It's time for a Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
Because if there's one thing I've learned, it's that five people represent a large enough sample size to be true.
Well, in this particular case, it will be fine, I'm sure.
So basically, we're going to go to each caller in order, and then I guess we really technically might only end up with three calls if the first three people all say that candy corn is awesome. And then we'll find out what the consensus is on candy corn, whether it's a great Halloween tree or if it's terrible and nobody likes it, all right? We'll take them in order. We'll start with Jason. He was the first person through on line one. Jason, you have a very important decision ahead of you. Candy corn, yes. Yes or no?
Candy corn is awesome.
All right.
All right. That is one for yes.
You're a
Thank
demented
you,
pedophile.
Logan is on line two. We've got 1-4, none again so far. Logan, what say you?
I don't. That's acceptable. It's like pumpkin pie or like, you know, those, yeah, like you said, fruitcake. Can eat it, but maybe 3 or 4, and that's it. And
so good or bad? Well, bottom line, Logan, good or bad?
But he'll eat it.
Yeah, there it is, bad.
He'll eat it. I don't think he's on your side.
He is on our
he
side.
Said bad.
He said bad.
Yeah, listen, but he still eats it.
Doesn't matter.
When
Logan,
pressed, he voted bad.
Well, just for the flair of the season, like Halloween.
Logan, timeout. Good or bad? Timeout. Everybody stop what you're doing. Logan, shut up.
I would never buy it, personally. Never.
There it is.
But
there
he'll
never.
Eat it.
No, Lisa.
We did ask him good or bad, and he said bad, so we're going to have to accept all that. Right. We are all tied up at one apiece right now. Kevin Bean Scientific Survey up next. Darren, line three. Hi, Darren. Thanks for hanging on. You've heard the arguments from both sides. Where do you come down on candy corn?
Bad. I'd rather pee in my own mouth than eat candy corn.
Yeah. Darren, you are a right-thinking American. God bless you.
You're a patriot.
All right. I'm getting a little bit nervous now because we're 2-1. Yeah. So Andy could really settle this debate once and for all. Andy, you really want to piss Lisa May off? Is that what's going on here? You really want to vote
on,
no
Andy.
On candy corn?
Candy corn blows.
Yeah! Andy!
Vote your conscience. Vote your conscience, Andy. God bless you, sir. You're a brave American. That's 2-2, right? Or is that 3-1?
That's
3-1. That's a resounding victory.
Crush. That's a landslide.
High five, Ralph.
Woo! So we have been to the audience, and the audience has turned out to be wrong.
No, they're right.
That's so
shut
sad.
Your mouth about candy corn, Bean.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
This is that rare week of the year where you've got basketball, soccer, football, baseball, hockey, all going on at the same time. Unbelievable
doesn't
for sports
matter.
Fans.
Doesn't matter because
it's football.
Only
season.
One sport matters.
Our friend Rich Eisen is the best of all the guys talking about football. He is the lead anchor for the NFL Network. You can see him on NFL Total Access Monday through Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time. And, of course, starting at the crack of ass every Sunday. Rich, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
That's a fantastic description of the crack time.
You know, Rich, I got to tell you, on Sundays, I am now watching exclusively Game Day Morning because it really, of all the pregame shows, it really is the best. And I'm not just blowing smoke. You guys do a great job.
Thank
there.
You. I really appreciate you saying that because we do wake up at the crack of ass.
Ass, yeah.
Half past dark, right.
And we feel that what we're doing. Hey, my buddy, my little son is. You know, you want to be on the radio too?
Okay. who's your kid's team, Rich? Who does he root for?
He roots for whoever dad is rooting for right now. But and actually, I think his favorite quarterback is Elmo.
Oh, he's good.
As long as the team is riding the dinosaur train to the Bears' big blue house for body time. I think that basically wraps up what his interests are right now.
No wonder you want to get out of the house at 6 a.m.
No,
on Sunday.
Gosh, I actually do miss him terribly. But at any rate, it is a long day. But we work real hard to make sure that the topics that we have on the show are compelling, and we also discuss it in a way that could be, you know, entertaining as well as compelling. And you know, Michael Irvin has a very high energy, and Warren Sapp has a different energy, and Mariucci brings sort of like the dad quality to the program, and Marshall Faulk is one of the smartest football guys or anybody. He's locked into anything, not just football, more than anybody thinks. And so it's my job to weave that all together, and that happens every Sunday.
Rich, do you ever get the sense that Mooch would coach again?
Yeah, I do, and I'm sort of afraid that day will come.
He seems like he's really chomping at the bit to get back into the game.
Well,
to me.
Most coaches who leave the game, it's very difficult for them to truly actually unplug and leave the game.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, Steve and I and Dion and Marshall are going to start going on the road for our pre- and post-game coverage of our Thursday night games. It starts in two Thursdays with the Falcons hosting the Ravens, which is a pretty juicy game.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams are 5-2 right now. But at any rate, when we go there and we're on the sideline, and Steve, when the ball kicks off, he gets that sort of look in his eye, and he bends over with his hands on his knees, and he's talking to the line judges and the officials, and he's slapping people on the butt, and, you know, and he just gets a certain adrenaline rush out of being at a game. And I had, you know, I've been doing a podcast once a week now on NFL.com and on iTunes that I'm really enjoying because it allows me the ability to talk to people for more than just 2 minutes. And I had John Gruden on as a guest last week, and he's doing such a great job in the Monday night booth. And, you know, I asked him if he'd be interested in coming back, and he essentially said that if, you know, if his phone rang with an offer, he would listen. And this is a guy who has, you know, signed a new contract to stay in the booth, doing a great job with what he's doing. It's just that he's also spending his spare time every week. He got an office, as he said, in the back of a Publix, a supermarket in Tampa, where he gets there at 3 in the morning still, and he watches game film of the two teams that he's going to be broadcasting about that week. And he invites fellow, as he said, fired coaches into the lair with him, and they talk football all the time. Now, that sounds like a man who really hasn't fully unplugged from the coaching bug to me.
When Jerry Jones calls him, he'll take the call, in other words.
Yeah, that's the first one we thought, isn't it?
Yeah, there's that one, and then, you know, there are other rumors that the Cleveland job and the Carolina job, maybe even the San Francisco job, could even be, who knows, the San Diego job with the way they're starting, that these jobs could all be open and attractive to somebody. I mean, Bill Cowher sitting there on the CBS set, I think he's going to be a hot ticket. So the long story short is I think deep down Steve really, Mariucci, loves hanging with us. He loves doing what he's doing now because it also does afford him time to hang with his kids,
right,
do things like go to movies, you know, and be a person as opposed to somebody who removes themselves from much of society to be a head coach. So
we are talking to our friend Rich Eisen on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, the lead anchor for the NFL Network. When Rich said we have games starting Thursday night, let's not forget that on the NFL Network itself, we're talking about live, actual, real games on Thursday night starting in a couple of weeks, as Rich mentioned, which is always exciting for the network, I'm sure, to be able to have. I mean, eventually, that's your goal, is to get as many games on as you can, I imagine.
I don't know, actually. That's further up the flow chart than me for decisions like that. But I know we're in our fifth year of doing this now. And last year, we didn't go on the road for the games. This year, we're going. It's going to be me, Dion, Mariucci, and Marshall, with a collection of people that I don't know if they've announced yet in our studio, so I don't want to get ahead of a press release. You know, that could always create problems. But I know that the four of us are going to go on the road, and we're excited. Our first game is Ravens at the Falcons, and then the Bears are in Miami, and that'll bring up the old 85 Bear footage of the Dolphins hanging the first loss and only loss in the Bears that year.
Let me ask you about a couple things that are swirling around in the NFL world right now, Rich. I know you've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of players in the last 10 days or whatever it's been about these new rules, about these new helmet-to-helmets and everything like that. How are the players? I mean, obviously, they managed to escape this past weekend without anybody being called for it, so they do know how to do it. But how tricky is it for them to be out there and think in the moment, hey, what's legal and what's not legal with the new rules?
Well, I guess not as tricky as we thought it would, because, as you pointed out, this past weekend was a complete non-issue. I mean, I thought either some players would hold up in a very obvious way that would create another furor. You know, there were a few, like 4 years ago, if you remember, there was an emphasis on roughing the passer, where they changed the emphasis, as they like to say, on the rules as well, like they did this past week. They changed the rules in the offseason and then hit the emphasis on it during the season about roughing the passer. And there was a player for the New York Giants called Mathias Kiwanuka, who's still active now, and he had Vince Young wrapped up and let him go, as opposed to taking him to the ground, and Vince ran for a first down, and they beat the Giants, and that was a big uproar that this is now the result of these rule changes where you might as well essentially put flags on the quarterback, you know? So it was an uproar over that. Now I thought we'd see something similar to that this week, but it didn't happen. And then not on top of that, I thought for sure you'd see more flags for hits that we thought that could still be legal, but now officials are erring on the side of caution to the detriment of the game. That didn't happen. So I think everybody is just going to learn to adjust. And if it happens again, you know, there might be an uproar over it. And if they get suspended, we'll deal with it then. But I don't know. This could really be much ado about nothing.
That weekend, I think it just proves, was sort of an anomaly. Those many hits head-to-head and those results, I think, was, you know, sort of unique.
Well, as Marshall Faulk and Mariucci pointed out on Game Day Morning last week, the two hits, there were three hits. One of them, Brandon Merriweather of the Patriots, head-butted.
Right.
Todd Heap of the Ravens, and that essentially is, you know, he might as well have been jumping from the top rope and hitting him with a folding chair.
I mean, that's pretty obvious.
The other two hits, though, Marshall and Mooch pointed out, rightfully so in many ways, it was the fault of the receiver, that this was a zone defense that they were running across. And if you are a savvy receiver, or at least know much of what you're doing, as you're running across, that zone defense is developing in front of you. And you know that if you keep running, you're going to run into a massive hit. You're supposed to hitch up in the middle of the field and stop.
Right.
Now, in the case of DeSean Jackson, his quarterback was exiting the pocket because he was in trouble. And DeSean may have kept running the route to try and create more of a target for his quarterback, who should never have thrown the ball at all.
Yeah, he hung him out.
Eating it, and boom, you get a big hit. The other one, Massaquah, just kept running, and he's a young receiver. That's why Marshall pointed out on the show, you never see the Reggie Waynes of the world and the T.O.'s and the Andre Johnsons of the world getting blown up like that, because they know what the coverage is. They know how to avoid that and play safe. And so it's a combination of all things, not just the defender who wants to blow himself up and see him on a highlight.
Right.
Rich, before we go, I have to ask, since we made reference to the Cowboys coaching job, what do you and the team think has gone so horribly wrong for a team that nobody expected to be 1-4 this year? I mean, that is something else.
Well, I think, you know, you could blame it on the coach. You could blame it on the owner, who had them training in two different states.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to start from the very beginning, and an owner who also has an odd flow chart where the offensive coordinator wasn't chosen by the head coach, who's also the defensive coordinator, and thus too invaluable to fire because he does such a good job on that side of the ball, that they didn't really choose a running back until this past week, and they don't make play error-free football inside the red zone. They make too many mistakes defensively. But it could truly all boil down to the fact that right before the season, Miles Austin broke up with Kim Kardashian. And that is that's a killer.
It is.
I mean, that's a killer. And I think he should really think hard. I know Kimmy K, I saw out there, she was celebrating her 30th. I don't know if she's still single. But anybody who's got an idea of winning a championship certainly should go out and get on that opportunity, if you will.
That is, that's what we're going to call it, getting on that opportunity. That is excellent advice. NFL Total Access Monday through Saturday, NFL Game Day morning on Sunday. Don't miss the Rich Eisen podcast. By the way, I already have on my iPod ready to go your interview with Pete Carroll and actor James Caan from yesterday's podcast. I'm dying to hear what the coach has to say about Seattle.
He was coach. We did talk about USC with him. We did talk about Seattle, but there is no other human being on the planet like James Caan. I mean, there and he's got a lot of football stories in him, and obviously I did pepper him to the point where I hope I wasn't annoying him about The Godfather. I just
How could you not?
I know, and at this point we've got a lot of great other guests scheduled to appear still to come on the broadcast, so I appreciate you mentioning that.
You bet. Rich Eisen, you are the best, man. You're always welcome on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for joining us, dude.
Anytime.
Excellent new album from Jimmy Eat World. That's called My Best Theory on 106.7 K-Rock KROQ at 7:57. Two things Omar hates more than anything in the world, Glee and Rocky Horror Picture Show, combined into one juicy hour of television last night.
The so
Glee
good.
Cap is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now Ralph's got the show. Beat with
such a good episode. I don't know how he's going to possibly find anything wrong with it. With the possible exception of Mercedes being cast as Dr. Frankenfurter in the production of Rocky Horror that they did. I had a problem with that. I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to the role of the transvestite doctor.
I've never seen the Rocky
Horror. What?
Show, but I thought Mercedes was awesome in that role, having nothing to compare it to.
But she's supposed to be playing a male transvestite.
Right.
So if you put a big, beefy black woman in that role, I think you're losing some of the je ne sais quoi, if you will.
You don't have to swear at me. It's just an opinion, man. I'm just telling you what I thought, okay?
Tim Curry's performance as Frankenfurter is just indelible to many of us who like the movie. And so I was hoping to see Stamos or Schuster or somebody, you know, put on the fishnets.
All right, we will discuss. All will be talked about coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. First time for the show, Ms. Bean.
How do you do? I see you've met my faithful handyman. It's Tim Curry. Somebody gets me, man. Penn Badgley and Blake Lively.
Oh, two of my favorite names in show business.
Of course, they had a hot and heavy romance on the set of Gossip Girl, and apparently it's all over. They're professionals, an insider says, but they have split up. They're still good friends and hang out on the set, but they're no longer dating. Oh, Penn Badgley, what have you done? How do you let Blake Lively walk out of your life?
Thank God.
Good question.
Although now she's available, fellas.
Thank God.
That's what I gotta say, I called dibs.
Yeah, she's a gooder.
She's way, way, way hot.
And let me tell you something. Turning into quite the little actress, too.
She is.
If you saw The Town, the new Ben Affleck movie, she's quite good in that.
I did. She was good.
And she's going to be in the new Green Lantern movie, which I'm looking forward to enormously. She plays Carol Ferris in that. And I think she's becoming quite the little actress. And here's the thing. I always knew her as that chick from That CW Show, which was kind of the goofy teenage show that Dave the King of Mexico watched as the teenage girl that he is.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
And her dad was like on the Dukes of Hazzard or something. I knew that. And here she is, blowing away everyone's expectations. So
I'm going to tell you
nice
about a
success story.
A little actress named Michelle Williams, who at one time was that broad from Dawson's
Creek,
and has gone on to be Oscar nominated and great in every movie she does. Sometimes you can't tell early on,
but that's real talk right there, man.
She killed that dude, though. That's the only thing. Yeah, her husband, she killed
him.
She
did.
That was not cool. Not cool at all.
Wow, Lisa's for murder now. Look
at that. Apparently. Yeah. Well, of course, when it comes to killing men, Lisa's all for it. You know what I'm saying? Been the other way around, but like, oh, no, stop it.
Give her a couple tablespoons of frosting, and Lisa's all geeked up, ready to kill guys.
Pour some candy corn down her throat, and next thing you know.
Not candy corn.
Speaking of putting things on your throat, Lisa. Look, if you want, I will, man.
Look, Gene's being a dick.
Sitting on your laurels, whatever.
Look, don't look at me.
Look at me. Look how wet I am from Love Line. Oh, hee. Sorry, big star. I didn't know you weren't participating anymore. I didn't realize. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor John Cleese. Comedian, writer, genius. Monty Python member, 71 years old today. Ivan Reitman is 64. K.K. Downing of Judas Priest.
Yes.
He is 59. Roberto Benigni, Oscar-winning actor and director. He is 58 years old. Simon Le Bon of Duran Duran is 52 years old. Scott Weiland is 43. And TV personality Kelly Osbourne celebrates her 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
It's 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. In fact, the world famous K-Rock at 8:09.
Glee cap, glee cap, glee cap. Why do you like this stupid show? It sucks so bad, I'm gonna let you know. I think I'm gonna go number two on it. This crappy music makes me feel so goddamn sick. Glee cap, glee cap, glee cap.
Remix.
Glee crap, glee crap, glee crap.
Omar Khan joins us in studio for his weekly review of last night's Glee. Omar doesn't like the Glee, but what are you going to say to Ralph Garman, who I just heard utter these words? Last night was a nearly perfect hour of television.
It is back. Glee is back. It stumbled a little bit this season, but last night's episode, nearly a perfect episode of
You're
Glee.
You're so wrong.
Oh, it was awesome.
It might have been awesome if you've seen Rocky Horror Picture Show and were a fan.
Yeah.
Which was, so two people enjoyed it.
No, many people enjoyed it.
I disagree with you. Right off the bat, I was lost. I don't know what the hell was going
lost
on my
TV. Lost had nothing to do with that. It's another show completely.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Ralph, what about that? Is that a legitimate complaint? Because let's face it, the vast, overwhelming majority of people who watch Glee have never seen Rocky Horror Picture Show. Does it make it a successful episode for the majority of people watching?
Seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show than have heard some of the Broadway tunes that they do on that show.
Which is awful, too.
But you don't need any kind of knowledge beforehand for those. You can kind of take those, out of context on their own
merits.
They
did a great job of explaining the film and the significance for the people who enjoy it and the fandom.
They didn't
explain
anything, dude. I mean, they were going to random songs, and I was just like, what? What are they doing? Especially the open. Check this out.
And Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the Invisible Man.
Okay, dude. It's 2010. I don't need to hear Flash Gordon and Claude Rains, the Invisible Man, dude.
Well, that's the opening credits from the film where they talk about all the science fiction movies they're going to spoof.
Is it 2010?
It is 2010,
That was made in 1973?
Yeah, well, listen.
You don't have to dip over 35 years in 2010.
Mozart wrote his classics many years ago too, Omar, but it still holds up, you know?
Oh God. So they did that as the intro, and then right after that they kick into this.
There's a light.
I'm thinking, what the hell is going on here? They totally lost.
They're going up to Frankenfurter's castle because there's a light up there. Their car broke down.
Is that it?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Not on my TV. Not on my watch, man. Not on my watch.
Brad and Janet are going up to the castle.
Okay, so the whole episode last night was about white man after teacher guy trying to impress Big Eyes. Okay, yes. Because John Stamos is wooing her and getting her to break out of her shell and not being so...
Get over her germ phobias
right,
and stuff.
Not being such an OCD person. And white man Afro teacher guy can't stand it.
Right, he
loves her. So he the chick mentions to white man Afro teacher guy that, oh, he took me out to Rocky Horror Picture Show. So he decides to do the whole musical Rocky Horror Picture Show. That's right. How they work it in. My other problem with the show is that isn't it supposed to be a Halloween episode?
Well, it's airing around Halloween
They promoted it as a Halloween episode.
Right. Rocky Horror Picture
and
Show.
And it was
costumes.
Barely Halloween. They mentioned Halloween once during the whole episode. Rocky Horror Picture Show is not a Halloween musical.
Well, it's a horror.
I'll get it.
it's a horror movie musical. It is.
Okay, it's not. But
would you like to do more trick or treating in last night's episode? Is that what you're looking for?
Something that's Halloween to make me into the Halloween spirit, not transvestites. it's so bad. I'll get to the transvestite part. Okay, so Dumb Jock Finn, he's playing a character I think called Eddie, right?
No, he's playing Brad.
Okay, he's playing Brad.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
The male lead of the piece.
And he's having issues with his insecurity of his body because at one point Brad has to just appear in his underwear.
Right.
So he's talking over this with Big Nose.
I know I'm a big athlete and it's not manly or anything, but I'm kind of insecure about how I look.
Come on, you have a different body type. I don't look like Brittany or Santana, but you still think I'm hot, right?
No. Not really.
Hey.
You have a big schnoz and no boobs.
Hey, wait a minute. I didn't hear that part last night. That was edited.
What are you talking about?
That was you.
No, that was the same guy. It was the same voice.
Totally.
I heard it.
Yeah. No, it was you.
I don't know what you're talking
adding
about.
Those lines.
I don't know. But here is that
And tell me you didn't think of Psycho Mike, by the way, about the guy who won't take his teeth
and
take his shirt
off.
He's a good-looking
guy. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the music in context, I guess, makes sense. But when they break out into song last night, I was so lost. And it's terrible. Here's an example.
If there's one fool for you, then I am it.
Janet.
I've one thing to say, and that's damn it, Janet.
Okay, damn
I
it.
I love you.
Damn it, Janet.
Damn it, Janet. That's her name. His girlfriend's name.
Am I writing the lyrics for this musical? Are you kidding
me, dude? Come on,
though. Okay, and then John Stamos does this.
Opportunity, bless my soul. I really love rock and roll.
I have no idea.
Bless my soul.
What are they singing about, man?
It's about rock and roll. It's about rock and roll in the 50s. He's supposed to be like a greaser, motorcycle Elvis kind of guy.
It makes sense in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I get it.
The songs last are so night, much fun, though, Omar. They're so much fun.
But not last night. Not in context with the show Glee. Oh, it was so terrible. And the worst part of the show last night was that, I mean, everybody's probably seen pictures of the big afroed transvestite guy from the original Rocky Horror Picture Show. And in last night's Glee, Little Precious decides to play that role.
I like to play Frankenfurter. I mean, I'd be all kind of crazy sexy in that outfit.
No, not crazy sexy. You know, when she popped out, I literally threw up in my mouth.
The reason I said it was an almost perfect episode of Glee last night is I wouldn't have made that casting choice myself.
Oh, my God. Really? In the patent leather and everything singing this song?
I'm just a sweet transvestite.
Are you kidding me?
It was not ideal casting. That
oh my
part.
God! And then white man Afro teacher guy is trying to woo Big Eyes, and he asks her to help in one song. And this I didn't get. Maybe you could explain this to me. He asked her for help in one of his songs, but she sings a song.
Right.
I didn't get that.
Janet does a number with Rocky the Creature that he was playing, and she was taking the Janet role, so she was helping him rehearse that sequence.
Okay, and this happened.
Throw me, tell me, fulfill me.
The chipmunks were singing in this movie. What is going on here? I was so lost last
night. She's a soprano.
Chipmunks
that's
going
all.
On. Fat women transvestites. what the hell? This guy's not taking his shirt off.
And you may have enjoyed it more if you didn't know the movie.
I'm
Maybe
telling
you have
you,
a point.
I'm telling you. And of course, during every episode, white man Afro teacher, white man Afro. It's hard to say now.
Just call him Will Schuster.
White man Afro teacher guy has a little message, and this is his message about what Rocky Horror Picture Show should be about.
It was for outcasts,
People on the fringes who had no place left to go but were searching for some place where they felt like they belonged. Sound familiar? The truth is, with that perspective...
Omar should take a shit on you.
No! Say that.
Come on.
I was surprised he said that, but I really enjoyed that part.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know. Edited that part. I know.
And last night they did Time Warp.
Yeah.
And they did it in its entirety.
Yes.
And they did it for you, Ralph, and that was it.
Just a jump to the left.
And this is the only song I recognized, and it was okay.
Awesome. I was talking to friends. We all got off the couch and we're doing the Time Warp with the episode.
Really?
Yep.
You should kill yourself. I'm going to go Pucano on last night's episode, man. It was so terrible.
Wrong, Omar.
Man, just stop it. Oh, Bean.
Yes, sir.
You're out, right?
Dude, I got to tell you, I'm joining the long queue of listeners that I am hearing from for whom Glee has been ruined thanks to the Glee Caps. I have
there
to tell you. We got an email from a guy named Mark who listens to us via the podcast in San Francisco. Used to watch Glee, kind of enjoyed it with his girlfriend. Now he can't stop making fun of it in your voice every time he watches it. He calls them by all the names you call. His girlfriend will not allow him to watch Glee with her anymore because of his quote-unquote negative attitude.
I'm doing the Lord's work.
That's apparently right. It's working. Mm-hmm. Well done, Omar.
Glee crap, glee crap, glee crap.
Can we get a clean up on aisle six, please? Clean up on aisle six. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ, the world famous K-Rock at 8:27. By the way, since the candy corn debate has been settled, since we did this Kevin Bean scientific survey last hour, and it was determined that candy corn is, in fact, an awesome Halloween candy.
Wait, time out.
I remember the calls from an hour ago.
Yeah, we'll play back the tape. It was 3-1. Candy corn sucks.
Candy corn is the best, right?
Oh, but that one guy was kind of on the fence.
The reason I bring it up,
the
reason I'm saying it,
he said bad. He voted bad. How's that on the fence?
But he eats it.
I bring it up because people are – I mean, I'm just being barraged with candy corn-related emails. Candy corn is in fact, Satan's butt nugget, no matter how much you say it is. So just ixnay on the Andy Corn K emails is what I'm saying to you right now because it's already been decided and everybody loves candy corn. Mm. All right. Now let's move on to our next issue, which is the lamest superheroes in the world. Now, we talked about this a while back when Kevin could not get his head around Ant-Man, but it reared its ugly head again this week on the Showbiz Beat. Who was the new costume character that you were telling us about, Ralph, that they're going to make a movie about?
Well, Uwe Boll, legendary filmmaker Uwe Boll, is making a movie called Blubberella about the world's first fat female costumed crime fighter, and she, you know, she stamps her feet and causes earthquakes and explosions and stuff because she's really fat, see?
Right.
And we're saying that's a bad superhero.
That's not a good superhero, right? Is there any possibility that that's going to be good?
No.
No
possibility that's going to be good. But, you know, then Mike pipes in with his ill-conceived opinion that Aquaman isn't a great superhero, which he is.
Now, why is Aquaman the go-to for fanboys who want to start an argument with other fanboys?
Let me just preface this by saying I'm not a fanboy. I don't know much about any of the superheroes, and I appreciate Ralph's wealth of knowledge when it comes to this. I just assumed because he is dubbed the King of the Sea,
yeah,
that if there's a crime in Ohio, he can't really do much.
Yeah, but, you know, he's just 75% of the planet. That's what he rules.
Right.
Just 75% of the planet.
But not
Earth.
A
That's
lot of crime is being committed in the ocean.
You know what? He can come out of the ocean, Mike. He can walk on land, and because he dwells at the bottom of the sea, his musculature has adapted, and so he is stronger than almost anyone. Superhero-wise, that you want to meet, because his body has been used to the pressure and the enormous weight and pressure put upon him by the sea.
Okay,
wow.
And so he's as strong as, say, Laird Hamilton.
He's stronger than Laird Hamilton, that's for sure.
But my point
and
being,
he communicates with all aquatic life. He can make them do whatever he wants with the telepathy.
Oh, so he's gonna Sturgeon's gonna come help him save the bank robbery in Montana.
Well, you know what? Maybe the middle of the country isn't his necessarily where he was to fight crime. But how often does Batman get out of Gotham City? What if there's a crime in Chicago? You think Batman's taking care of that? No, he's not. Everyone's got their area of expertise. But Aquaman does rule 75% of the planet.
It's pretty strong.
It's pretty hard to argue with that.
It's
pretty good size, I think.
I'm just saying that it doesn't really have much application to solving like real-life human problems. Because unless it's committed within 10 miles of the coast... You know, like, he's not very helpful.
Oh, how about if there had been a giant oil spill down in the Gulf?
Sure, no.
See? Yeah. That would have come in pretty handy.
Is he better than a normal person?
How about piracy? That would come in pretty handy, wouldn't it? Somali pirates. How about those people?
Is he better than a normal person when it comes to helping the world? Sure. But in comparison to other superheroes, he's pretty weak sauce.
I'm saying he has gotten a bad rap, and there's been a lot of comedy shows and a lot of comic strips, and a lot of comedians who have mocked Aquaman, and it's become a very sort of popular jab to use him as an example.
It's a cheap shot.
Of a bad superhero.
It's low picking
fruit.
He's
one of the founding members of the Justice League, first of all, so bite me.
Yeah, but he has to be in the Justice League. He needs other dudes to help him out.
And there are many worse superheroes than Aquaman, too.
And by the way,
let's use his targets, by the way.
And for right there, I want to say we are going to take your telephone calls, the worst superhero in the world, at 1-800-520-1067. I can't believe you told us about the question.
The question
doesn't strike me as anyone who's going to strike fear into the hearts of anyone.
Question, of course, Vic Sage, who lives in Hub City. He puts on a mask of pseudoderm.
What's pseudoderm?
It's a faux skin. Lisa, okay. that makes his face perfectly flat. It removes all of his features, and he becomes a mysterious man who seeks out questions and answers.
Now, what does he do?
Not defend them.
He's like a detective. He looks into conspiracy theories and whatnot, and he does not rest until he gets the answer because he is the question.
Right, but when he shows up at a bank robbery, for instance, he asks some questions, and they give him a description of what the guy is, and then does he go out and find the guy who robbed the bank?
Sometimes.
Sometimes he just has more questions.
Sometimes there are more deeper layers to the mystery that you're not even aware of, because you're not the question.
So he's
not the question.
He's a kick-ass detective, essentially.
More or less, but it's just the pseudoderm, the mask, the fake flesh mask that he puts on. Is sort of laughable. It's kind of a goofy gimmick for a superhero. So
does the question still exist in 2010?
Yeah, the original question died, of course, in 52. You remember that popular series from DC. But now Renee Montoya has taken over for the question. She's the second question, and she now runs around with the pseudoderma mask and solves crimes.
All right. Can you beat the question? 1-800-520-1067. What is the worst superhero of all time? We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Clearly, we're not going to be able to set. We're going to need more time for this discussion, Ralph, because the phones are ringing off the hook.
See?
For Lena Superhero. Everybody's got an opinion on this.
It's a lot worse than Aquaman. Like this listener, Brandon, wrote me this email. Tell Mike there is no crime in the ocean because Aquaman is there. Aquaman has that S locked down.
I can't argue with that.
That's right. Maybe it's the cause and effect you have backwards, my friend.
Yeah.
Ed writes in, for lame superheroes, what about the Dazzler? She blinded people with light and a disco ball, but she was kind of hot.
Yeah, and I think the Dazzler also would get around on inline skates. I think that's how she got around the city.
That already
the Dazzler
makes
sounds
her worse.
Very, very 70s to me.
Yeah, it was very disco.
All right, let's try, burn through as many of these as we can. Let's try our man Jason on line 8. Popular superhero, but he says it should be in contention for the worst superhero. Hi, Jason, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Go ahead.
The worst superhero ever, hands down, would have to be the Tick.
No, the Tick was great.
The Tick.
Tell me
Come
about
on.
The Tick. I don't know, really.
The Tick.
No superpower whatsoever.
Really?
He was a moth as a sidekick?
He was very strong and could jump off of rooftops and whatnot.
Okay.
And then what do you do?
Plus, the Tick was a spoof. It was supposed to be like a comic book spoof on superheroes. It was a comedy. It wasn't meant to be taken seriously.
I understand, but he's still a superhero, right?
And his catchphrase was, Spoon!
Pretty much.
It's awesome.
Thank you for the call, Jason. Let's try our friend Paul. Oh, Paul, by the way, is an actual animator, actually a comic book artist.
He is?
He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Paul. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I think the lamest one is Matter Eater Lad.
From the Legion of Superheroes.
Yes, his power is he can eat anything.
Yeah.
I could do that.
That's awesome.
That's not awesome. I could see it's not a great superhero power just to be able to eat anything.
How did he save people?
What if, like, yeah, guys, someone's stuck in, like, a bank safe with a, you know,
being
hostage.
He's got to start eating it.
He can eat the bank safe.
How long does it take him to eat through a safe?
Yeah, doesn't he ever get full?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
White meat, dark meat, all will be eaten.
No. All right. Matter Eater Lad is a horrible, horrible superhero.
Terrible.
In fact, the Legion is full of them. Legion's full of bad superheroes, by the way.
Thank you, Paul. Let's try Dan, line 1, please. 1-800-520-1067. Dan, what is the worst superhero and why?
Captain Planet. Personally, he's essentially the EPA spokesperson. Come on,
he really is. He's just concerned with recycling. That's all he really cares about.
But can't he like control the wind and the elements and stuff?
Kind of, but...
Because that's pretty dope if he can.
What the heck is the power part going to do to help him out?
Okay, very good. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Nathan writes in, tell me this is just a joke, Ralph. The worst superhero ever is Squirrel Girl. She can command squirrels to do her bidding. Is that true?
I'm not familiar with Squirrel Girl.
I know Beaver Girl.
But if Squirrel Girl exists, I'm on her side.
Paige is on line 2 on the Kevin DeBede Show. Hi, Paige. Who's the worst superhero?
Hey, guys. It's definitely going to be, it's not a superhero, but it's an old a Batman villain. His name's Calendar Man.
Oh, yeah, the Calendar Man.
Yeah, he looks like a total douche too. And he's like configures things on certain dates. Like it was just really, really loser.
Yeah, all of his crimes sort of tie into holidays and stuff.
Yeah.
Awful. He's not very effective 325 days out of the
You'd
year.
You'd be surprised, man. There's all kinds of holidays you wouldn't expect, like Arbor Day and things. He can do all kinds of things. And his costume used to be literally like a tear-off calendar on his chest. Yeah.
I think he's got like a big question mark on his forehead or something like that. Yeah. He looks really, really funny.
Yeah. Thank you, Paige. Is there an original Batman TV episode about Calendar Man, Ralph?
No, he was in the comics. He wasn't in the TV show.
John writes in, guys, I haven't heard the Wonder Twins mentioned.
Oh,
what about them?
Yeah, of course, from Super Friends, the Wonder Twins.
How about Apache Chief, the Indian who grew to skyscraper size?
Yeah, he was just a big Indian who could get tall. He was like a really tall Indian.
You can vanquish him with a bottle of booze.
John, Firewater, please. John, line 3 on the Kevin DeBede Show. John, who's the worst superhero? Yes, John, go ahead,
I'm
please.
I'm sorry, I went to the wrong line. You said line
3. Line 3.
My bad.
John. Hey, this is Sean, but the worst is Banshee.
Well, she's a villain. She's a Superman's villain.
No, from X-Men.
Oh, okay.
And what does Banshee do?
Scream.
Yeah, well, that's what they do, those Banshees.
okay, thank you. Let's try Marina.
But the Black Canary. Black Canary's like that, too. She's got a supersonic scream.
Hello?
Which comes in handy. Hi there. Go ahead. Who's the worst superhero?
Fat Mama.
Now, is that a real thing?
Fat Mama.
Yeah, Stanley used to have the show Who Wants to Be a Superhero, and she was on it.
Where people invented their own superheroes, and she was a big fat woman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had to eat donuts to get her powers.
Yeah.
Yui Bowles' new superhero.
It does. Yeah, so Blubberella. Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Michael writes in, the worst superpower I've ever seen is from a superhero named Zeitgeist. He was an X-Man who had the ability to vomit on command. Oh. He first discovered his ability while making out with a girl. That's a terrible way.
No. Yeah, the X-Men right. has a bunch of losers, too, like the Legion.
Let's try two more real quick. Randall, line 4, and then we'll go to John on line 1. Hi, Randall. Welcome to the Kevin DeBede Show. Who's the worst superhero?
Hey, how's it going? It's a 1930s hero named Stardust the Super Wizard.
What? Stardust the Super Wizard.
Yeah. And he's created by a cartoonist who didn't even know how to draw. But his powers were, one of his powers was retarding rays.
And if they hit you with those rays, you would become mentally challenged?
I something like that, or it'd slow you down at the very least.
Retarded or slow, one of the two. All right, thanks for the call. And that's finally... John, line 1, you get the last word on the worst superhero. What do you think?
Worst superhero would have to be Power Penis. Power Penis, basically like protected Banks. He would sit in the corner disguised as a big hairy Afro bush, and then he would shoot a goo-like substance on the victim.
You're making stuff up now.
His kryptonite was a tissue, so if the victim had a tissue, otherwise, he just lay there and died.
I don't know how Psycho Mike's making this phone call and being in the room at the same time.
Tomorrow is a big day for Ralph Garman fans. If you want to join him out at Universal Studios Hollywood starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Is that right, Ralph? You're going to be doing the whole show down at Universal for the K-Rock Bleed It Out blood drive?
I will be there all morning long.
All right, you can stop on by during the morning show or all the way up till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll have lots of great K-Rock prizes for you, including concert tickets to upcoming shows like Pennywise, The Perfect Circle, Tiger Army, The Dirty Heads, Brandon Flowers, and so much more. Give blood, get a prize. That's tomorrow. Get all the details at krock.com. It is 8:57. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us now for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Come on, Mike. Need my photographs, man. Need my shutter.
Dude, they were slow on the draw, sorry.
All right. Shocking news from this week's Us Weekly magazine. It seems like there's a new issue of Us Weekly almost every week.
It does.
I can't keep up with it.
How do they do it?
I can't keep up with it.
That'd be impossible.
Justin Timberlake apparently has cheated on longtime girlfriend Jessica Biel with another woman.
I am surprised by that, if it's true.
The magazine claims he spent a steamy 3-day affair with another woman while Jessica was working 3,000 miles away. Oh, by the way, the woman he was having the steamy affair with? Olivia Munn.
Yeah! Yay!
I'm sorry, I have an erection.
That little minx.
Oh, yeah.
That little vixen. That little tramp. Olivia Munn. Busting up the happy home of Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel.
I do believe that.
I do believe it, too.
Do you really?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I think most
I think Olivia's
women,
a goer, and I think JT said, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because she's pretty hot. Most women, given the opportunity to hit that with JT, would do so, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I don't
what
know.
Makes
it's just,
believe it.
It's just that he's been a fairly monogamous guy. He's not one of those guys who's out there with a you know with a different woman every 3 months. I mean, he seems to get a girlfriend, hang on to her for a few years before he moves on to the next. We've never really heard about him cheating.
Mm-hmm. I think that's because he can. I think he can hold on to Jessica Biel and get some strain.
But they've kind of been on again, off again a little bit.
Yeah, they've had their rough patches.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, 3,000 miles away, game on, you know?
Yeah, not in the same state. That's how it works,
he's
right?
JT.
Yeah.
Right.
Put that thing in a box. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Yeah. Tell Jessica Biel to cry me a river.
That's right. She's so hot, that Jessica Biel, though.
She's retardo hot.
Jessica Biel trumps Olivia Munn, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
here we go. Here comes Candy
well,
Corn.
Look.
Here comes the syrup.
here comes Four Loke.
Here comes Four Loke.
Jessica Biel has a banging body, but I love that Olivia's got a little bit of Asian to her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I'm almost always on, like, even just a little sprinkle of yellow makes a girl better for me. But I agree.
Not in this particular case, because you're talking about the Biel.
I think I prefer the Munn. But I got no complaints about either one of them, obviously.
I think Biel could kick Olivia's ass.
Yeah, easily. Mm. She's buff and swole on top of being hot.
She seems kind of surly, too, if you crossed her.
She seems like she's got a bit of a tood, which is hot, you know?
Yeah.
You want to grow with a ledge.
All I know is it's so on in the bedroom with Jessica Biel.
Oh,
it's
on. Oh, yeah. She'll break you.
Yeah.
She's like Drago.
Yeah.
She must break you.
Really,
if he dies, he dies.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever it takes.
You guys think she whips her hair back and forth?
Why, how does that even fit? How does that even work?
Because I'm just thinking of how crazy she must be in the bedroom. That's all.
I'm actually looking forward to Kevin coming back. That's all I'm saying.
Bam Anderson?
Just struggling through these show business beats with you two.
Harvey Keitel. Bam Anderson?
Paste Magazine has released a list of the 25 best horror movies of all time. Great list. Just in time for the Halloween season. Rent these if you haven't seen them, if you want to be scared out of your panties. Top 10 out of that list of 25. Number 10, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the OG version.
Yeah. Amazing.
Shockingly, horrifically scary.
Yeah.
Number 9, Phantom of the Opera. Again, the old school version. The I know it's Kevin's not here, so I can talk about it, but it was a silent film that is still scary as ever. You wouldn't believe it.
It's terrible. Right.
And a silent film, what is this, 1800s? The Haunting, again, the original version was number 8, Silence of the Lambs. What a great film. That really holds up. Bride of Frankenstein, the sequel to the popular film Frankenstein.
Great movie.
First one's good, too, but the bride's even better. Nosferatu, one of the original vampire films. Number 5 on the list, Alien, still scary as hell. Night of the Living Dead, once again, the original zombie movie, 3rd on that list. Number 2, Psycho. You will be scared. You will think twice when you get into a shower after you see Psycho. There's no doubt about it. And number 1, what do you think the scariest movie of all time is, according to Paste Magazine?
Exorcist.
Excellent. Excellent, Psycho Mike. The Exorcist. Scariest movie ever. Yeah, well done. I think that is. That's certainly my favorite. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Kelly Osbourne's 26 years old. Singer Scott Weiland celebrates his 43rd birthday. I'm afraid how he's going to celebrate. I don't know how he's going to celebrate.
Yeah. I'm afraid it's going to be his last one.
I hope it's just cake. I hope that's just
some tea, herbal tea.
Simon Le Bon of Duran Duran is 52 years old today. Roberto Benigni, Oscar-winning actor and director. He is 58. K.K. Downing of Judas Priest is 59. Ivan Reitman, producer, director, writer, turned 64. And John Cleese from Monty Python, of course, and he's been
Fish
a bunch
called
of
Wanda.
Fish Called Wanda. He's been a ton of stuff. He's 71 years old today. Interesting story about John Cleese. His original last name was Cheese.
Really?
Yes. His family name was Cheese.
For reals?
For reals. And his grandfather apparently thought it was too embarrassing, so they named he changed the name to Cleese. And apparently there's no one else that, on any record, anyone who has the name Cleese. That's like an originally made-up name, so... That makes John unique.
That is interesting.
This is so boring.
He's 71 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Certainly bounce back from the rape charge. You got to give it to Linkin Park, man. They got a great PR firm or something. That's their latest called Waiting for the End on 106.7 KROQ. It is 9:42. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Got one more showbiz beat with Ralph Garman, and it's happening right now.
Yeah, sure is. Got some very hot, late-breaking Batman 3 news. This comes from the LA Times. Apparently, they interviewed Christopher Nolan about the third Batman film in his very successful franchise. And we now have a title. Christopher Nolan has announced the third Batman film will be called The Dark Knight Rises.
In his pants.
How dare you, sir? And a lot of people have been speculating that the Riddler would naturally be the latest of Batman's rogues gallery to appear in the films. But Nolan has shot down that rumor, saying it won't be the Riddler regarding Batman's villain for the third film. So far we've got the Riddler checked off the list, and Mr. Freeze also checked off the list.
Everybody chill.
It will not be those two characters. My gut feeling is that Nolan is concerned with the residual sort of unhappiness many fans had with the presentation of those characters in previous films. Jim Carrey's Riddler was not well accepted, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze is pretty much a target of derision by everyone.
Right. I will tell you that I have ultimate faith in Christopher Nolan, whatever he decides to do with whatever villain he chooses to put in the film, because I was one of the people who said, wow, how'd you like to be the poor schmuck actor who follows Nicholson as the Joker? Man, can you imagine there's any way they're going to make that good? And then Heath Ledger, of course, came out with something that not only won an Oscar, but is one of the great film roles of all time. So Christopher Nolan knows what he's doing.
Nolan also reveals that he convinced Warner Brothers to stay away from the current 3D craze and will not be using 3D technology for the third film.
So wow, that's got to disappoint the studio.
Won't be Batman 3D. He said we'll be using high-definition approaches and IMAX cameras, but we're going to leave 3D for other people for now.
How about that?
Yeah, that's surprising.
Batman, bitches. Although I will tell you that Inception is the kind of movie, that was a Christopher Nolan film too, right?
Yes.
Is the kind of movie that you can imagine, it could have even been crazier in 3D with all those dream things that were going on.
Yeah, that's true. Although sometimes 3D, I think, can serve as a distraction to the storyline if not used properly.
Right.
I mean, Avatar is a perfect example of mixing 3D with the storyline. However, that was a fantasy film, and it does seem like fantasy films are served better by three dimensions than more gritty, realistic films.
You're right. 3D almost took me out of Jackass 3D during the apple of my ass.
Did it?
I was thinking
really
that
pull you out
took
the storyline?
Story, yeah.
It eclipsed the narrative, as they say. You tremendous douchebag. Speaking of which, the situation's in the news. Mike Sorrentino.
Yeah.
He is publishing his first novel. And tells the New York Post that fans can look forward to a lot more writing from the situation. He said he's looking forward to releasing his one-night stand checklist for people who want to know what the situation looks for in a hookup. Also, he said he looks forward to telling his fans about how women love shaved legs on a man. That's true. Women can't get enough of that.
Huh. Okay.
And he has discovered that the best sex is with a grenade, often cases.
Which is interesting because he goes out of his way to make sure he doesn't end up with a grenade.
Always avoiding the grenades. So.
I don't know what I was... I must have... I don't even know. Who knows, dog? I don't even know what the I was thinking.
It's true. Who
knows? That's the man who just got a book deal.
Who knows, dog?
That guy.
We were talking about Kim Kardashian. It was her birthday last
Glendale.
Week.
Glendale.
And we're also talking about the going rates of people just to show up at things. Remember asking about how Dennis Rodman makes his money, and I was saying right. There's still money to be made, even if you're a pseudo-celebrity, showing up at different events and whatnot. Well, Star Magazine has released a quick list of some of Kim Kardashian's recent appearances and what she's pulling in for them. Foxwoods Casino's bowling lanes opening night in Connecticut. Okay? This is the bowling lanes at a Indian casino in Connecticut. She got $40,000 just to show up.
That's unbelievable, right?
Yes.
It's unbelievable that she showed up there.
She got $40,000.
She got $40,000.
From, I know, but
up there. From Best Buy to show up at one of their stores and browse through their cell phones as a photo op.
Glendale.
My God.
Oh, you want refi?
Cell phone? Cell phone? You want cell phone, bro? You want cell phone, bro? That's what she was asking people at the Best Buy. But the big cash in. Of course, Quick Trim paid her $100,000 to be a spokesperson for that weight loss product. But the Tao nightclub last week in Las Vegas, for 6 appearances, including her own birthday party, which they threw for her, paid her $500,000.
Wow.
Now, do you think, Ralph, that they get $500,000 worth of return on that investment? Do you think the word on the street that this club is so hot that Kim Kardashian is there all the time is worth $500,000?
I can't imagine they could, because most nightclubs in Vegas, Tao specifically, are pretty much packed every night.
Right,
it would
have
done well anyway.
Right. You've got a line outside the Velvet Rope to get into Tao most nights in Vegas, regardless of who's inside.
And how many is that because they keep having celebrities come, and so everyone knows the name?
There are certain hot clubs in Vegas, Lisa, that are just known as the hot clubs to go to. And it is cyclical. You know, every new club sort of takes away the heat from another club. But there are 3 or 4 clubs there that just are the clubs to go to, and Tao is one of them.
Also, how many people are going to wait in line and pay that money thinking that they're going to have some type of interaction with Kim Kardashian? They know she's just there. I mean, do you really assume that you're going to...
Now, beyond ticket prices, the only way I can see they make an impact, something like this, is that Tao does get mentioned on the Kevin and Bean Show, in Us Weekly magazine, and all kinds of media outlets that would not necessarily otherwise be talking about that nightclub.
And maybe that sticks the next time their readers or listeners go to Vegas.
Right. So when they're in town and they see the Tao sign, they go, oh, yeah, that's the one I heard about from the Kim Kardashian's birthday party. Let's go check that out and see what it's like. So maybe it does pay off in the end. But it does seem like a lot of money to pay for a C-list celebrity just to show up. Hey, do you want a body like Madonna's?
No.
No.
Well, here's your chance. I do, but... Apparently, she's opening up a chain of gyms around the world. The first one will open in Mexico City in November. They're called the Hard Candy Fitness Centers.
Okay.
So you go work out at Hard Candy, and you will have a body like beef jerky. That's their new slogan.
To Madonna's face.
Yeah. What happened to everything in Madonna, by the way? I do not find that look attractive, that whole sinewy sort of dried up,
I think she honestly has a great body for a guy. I mean, like, she really has a great physique.
Yeah. You know,
perfect shoulders and stuff like that, but it's just too much for a lady.
Yeah, it's just tragic news for fans of MTV. First, we had to deal with the cancellation of The City with Whitney Port, which was hard enough.
I'm still recovering from that. I don't know if I can take any more.
But last night, Audrina Patridge got booted off Dancing with the Stars.
No.
Yeah, apparently she was the lowest vote getter. And so Tom Bergeron had to say goodbye to Audrina Patridge.
She's never...
But very popular with the judges, though, right? Hadn't she done all right with the scores, but America just didn't turn out for her?
I do not follow Dancing with the Stars that closely, so I'm not sure.
None of us do.
Never looked hotter.
She does look great. But apparently that wasn't enough to keep her around. And if you missed it earlier today, DJ Omar Khan has finally come around. He loved last night's episode of Glee. Could not have been happier with how it turned out. He's finally seen the light.
DJ Omar Khan.
And he'll be happy to know that Glee has announced they're releasing a Christmas album. Well, of course, you know, it would hardly be a financial enterprise if they didn't try to cash in on the lucrative holiday gift-giving season. And Glee, the music, the Christmas album, will hit stores November the 16th, so you can pick that up. It's filled with popular carols and holiday tunes, and of course, there will be a special Glee Christmas episode that will air December 7th on Fox to promote the album as well. So it's the money-making juggernaut that is Glee continues.
Damn, I want to take on Glee so freaking anyways, bad.
Okay. Let's all play
good.
Something.
That's not good planning.
Let's
at all
play something, shall we?
Go ahead and back off yours if I'm already playing something, Mike.
I was first.
Today, celebrity birthdays. Actor, comedian, personal hero of mine, John Cleese, is 71 years old today.
I would like to hear some interesting trivia about how he got that last name, but we're out of time.
Look
who's talking.
Would you really? You?
Thanks for that info,
of all
Ralph.
People? Why don't you just cram your pie hole full of candy corn and cough syrup and just call it a day? Just lay down and take the long dirt nap for
this
everybody.
This guy.
I know. Isn't that
like
balls?
This
isn't
guy
balls?
Just told me off the air, I think I'm going to follow the Empire State Building on Twitter.
He did say that.
F you right to hell.
Yep, here it is. Here's the profile. I'm following it now.
Empire State Building might have a lot of cool things to talk about. You don't know, man.
Ivan Reitman, 64 years old today. K.K. Downing of Judas Priest celebrates his 59th birthday. Simon Le Bon of Duran Duran is 52 years old today. Scott Weiland celebrates his 43rd birthday. Kelly Osbourne is 26 years old today. And I got a new listener email. They're upset that I neglected to mention Patrick Fugit's birthday is today.
Oh.
Talented young actor, I guess. You probably know him best from his big splashy appearance in that Christopher Crowe movie. What was his name?
Almost Famous. It was Cameron Crowe.
Cameron Crowe, yeah. His brother Christopher also is very active in the community. He's 28 years old today. I'm tired. Leave me alone. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about an all-new Kevin and Bean show tomorrow as we get closer to Halloween?
No, thank you, sir.
How about Tobin Bell himself will be here talking about Saw 3D.
You want to play a game?
It's not really Halloween without a Saw movie, let's face it. Also, our friend Dr. Drew, very scary, practicing medicine without a license. He'll be on for his weekly Thursday visit. We got the host of the Ghost Lab TV show in studio tomorrow. And we'll talk to George Peros, a member of your Anaheim Ducks. All of that tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.